Tesha in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara of Baba Kama Daf Mem Beis. We begin 5 lines from the Taf Mem Beis and with Aleph, with the words Tanya Idach. We continue to learn for the safety of all those in Eretz Yisrael, Chayalim, the Kokos HaBitachon, all the EMTs, everybody involved in protecting Am Yisrael should be safe. Kosh Baruch Hu should allow them to be successful in their mission to return all of the hostages, to wipe out Hamas, the Rishoyim, Hashem Yamach Shemam, and to see Be'ezus Hashem a refuah shleima for all those in need and a nechama for all those that never have suffered such losses. Hashem Yinachem, Hashem Yirachem. Now, yesterday we had a brisa that taught us how Rabbi Eliezer understood the Gemara. Today we have a brisa that teaches us how Rabbi Yossi understood the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and then we'll have a brisa about Rabbi Akiva. The Shomer Tzion Bahalacha says this is the appropriate order to have these three brisas. That first, Rabbi Eliezer was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Akiva was really a Talmud Chaver with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but he held Rabbi Yossi Aglili in such high esteem that he would have given him a tremendous cover and would have had him go ahead of him. And that's why that's the order of these three brises according to the Shomer Tzion Bahalacha. In any event, we start off 5 lines from the top and Beis Manal today with Tanya Idach, another brise that taught us the following. We're darshaning the pasuk Baal Hashor Noki, again, V'chi yigach shor es ish o es ishov emes, sako yisakel ashor, v'lo yachel es basor, uval ashor noki. The critical points here are that the shor is killed, it's a shor haniskal, if it goes and kills a person, and you're not allowed to go and eat from the meat, which we darshan yesterday meant that you're not allowed to get any hanor whatsoever from it, and you can't even use the hides, and bal hashor noki, he's totally cleaned out. That's a combination of all the drushes that we learned yesterday, and today we have another drush on this pasuk, Baal Hashor Noki. So Yossi Glili Omer, Noki Midvei Vlados. Here, when we say that the Baal is cleaned out, the Baal Hashor Noki, it means that he is Noki Midvei Vlados, that if his ox had gored a pregnant woman, and that nebuch resulted in the woman miscarrying, so he does not have to pay, the owner of that ox does not have to pay for the financial loss of the fetuses, what they would have been worth. So, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, for Yosef Lili, Harei Hu Omer, the Pasuk says, Ki Yinatsu Anoshim, now, we have the rest of the Pasuk, V'nogfu Isha, in parentheses, it's not incorrect, it's just, it's not the part that we're darshaning. We're darshaning V'chi Yinatsu Anoshim. So, he says that this drasha teaches us, Anoshim v'lo shvarim. This teaches us the din applies only to men and not to oxen. So this pasuk, if you continued reading the pasuk, says the nagfu isha hara, it went and gored a pregnant woman. V'yotzu yilodeh, nebuch she miscarried. V'lo yaso means that she did not die. So in this situation, anoshi anesh kasher yosisulo balo isha nvasam yifli lim. So the man who caused this miscarriage, the two men are fighting, and instead of hitting the other man, he never hit the man's wife, who Nebuch miscarried. So in that situation, he has to pay the damages, the value of those Nebuch, those miscarried children. So the pasuk teaches us that this only applies to a man, Anoshim, as opposed to by Shvarim, it doesn't apply. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Yosef Lili, why do you need your pasuk Baal Hashor Noki to teach us this din? You have it from the basic psukim. It says only if men fight is there a penalty to be paid for the miscarried children, implying not oxen. And the Gemara says, Shapa Kama Rabbi Akiva. This is a very good question that Rabbi Akiva asked and Rabbi Yossi Glili. What's Rabbi Yossi Glili answer to that? So I'm a Rav Ula, Brei de Ravidi. So Rav Ula, who's the son of Ravidi, says, no. Rabbi Yossi Glili says, it's derich. You need the Pasuk Ubal Ashor Noki to teach us this day. Because if you only had the Pasuk Ki and Itzu Anoshim, I would have darshaned it in the following way. So Kedai Tech Aminich, I would have said, Anoshim, that this Pasuk does tell us men, Velo Shvarim, but it's what type of Shvarim? Hadomim lo anoshim, not including shvarim that have the same status as men. What type of shvarim have the same status as men? Just like ma anoshim muadim. A man is other muad liolam, always has the status of being muad, so to only shvarim that have the status of being muad are excluded from this din. Av shvarim muadim. So when it says anoshim and not shvarim, it would say, yes, a man is chayav to pay for the damages to the vlados, to these miscarried children, they have a financial obligation, but not Ishar Muad. Okay, But a short tam would be chayiv. Ha tam mechayiv. If we only had the drasha ki and tzu on Hashem, I would have said a tam is chayiv to pay. Therefore, along comes Yosef Lili, Kasar Chmona, Baal Hashar Naki, to teach us that even a tam is potter. That is why Rav Ula Brei Ravidi says Rav Yosef Lili holds that you need both psukim, ki and tzu on Hashem, and you also need Baal Hashar Naki. Gemara jumps on this and says, really? That can't be it. Now, the gears that we have is Omar Rava, but the Rava Farshim that say throughout this dot, it should be every time we say Rava, it should be Rava. But I'm going to read it the gears that we have each time because it's just easier to keep one gearsa. So Rava tells us, Yatsiva bi'ara v'giyora b'shmei shmaya. This is an expression that we find throughout Shas. It means that Yatsiva, which means the citizen, the full-fledged person, he's on the ground in the lower position. The Shor Mitzvah Malacha says it means he's not as chashuv. The Giora and the Ger, the person who's a guest, he's coming here, he's an Oreyach, so he's Bishmei Shemaya, he's up in the chashuv area. Doesn't make any sense. The Shor Muad should be a stricter din than the Shor Tam. So if a Muad is not chayiv, Alach Etz Kama V'Kama, is the Tam not going to be chayiv? So it doesn't make any sense to explain why you need both psukim the way Rav Ula Brei Ravidi did, saying that that's what Rav Yosef Lili would hold. How can you possibly suggest that the Tam would have to pay, but the Muad would not have to pay? So therefore, El Amar Rava, Rava says this is the way you would have to answer for Rav Yosef Lili. It's Rav Yosef Lili said you need both psukim, ki natsu anashim, and you need a Baal Hashor Naki, because if you only had anashim, that pasuk salted da'i chabinuch, anashim velo shvarim hadomin le'anashim. Yes, you would darshan it this way. It means men, and not shvarim that are like men. So ma anashim muadim af shvarim muadim. So therefore, a man is a muad, so we're comparing it to a shvar that is also a muad. And this comes to teach us it's only the men and not the shvarim. But then, the kal v'chomer l'tamin tamin diptire. And it's a kal v'chomer, therefore, certainly if the muad is not going to be chayiv, as we just said, obviously the tam is not going to be chayiv. So therefore, when we have the other pasuk, Hadar Kosar Rachmona Baal Hashor Naki, that comes to tell us that it's only the tam that is potter. The kal v'chomer worked to exclude the tam from having to pay, but the extra pasuk Baal Hashor Naki, which we didn't need, comes to tell us that only the tam is potter, but in fact a muad would be chayiv to go and pay for the Dmei Vlados. Now, Moore says, Omale Abaye, Abaye says, El Meyata. So if this is true, Gabi Boshes Nami Nemohochi. So if this is correct, so then you would have the same argument in regards to Boshes penalties, which do not apply to an animal, and yet based upon this drasha, Abaye says to Rava, it should apply to an animal as well. Now, what is this? The pasuk says anashim velo shvarim hadomim l'anashim. It tells us chi yinatzu anashim. That means only anashim and not the shvarim hadomim l'anashim, which we're saying now means the muad. So anashim muadim, ashvarim muadim. So just like a man is a muad, so the comparison would be to a shvar that is a muad. And you say that we don't compare them. It's only anashim and not shvarim hamuadim like an anashim. And then the kavachom the tam the ptira. And then the kavachom would be if a muad is exempt, so certainly the tam would be exempt. And then hadar kasav rachmona baal hashor naki. So that would teach me tam is patur umuad chayim. Now this therefore would tell me that if you're telling me that the tam is patur from humiliation expenses, the damages of the busha, the humiliation, so then the muad is chayiv. That doesn't jibe with what we know that halacha is. Oh, v'chitem ha'chanami. And you say, yeah, no, this is the halacha, that a muad is chayiv for busha. So then Gemara says, ihachi, listen, then you should have said that Yosef Lili says, baal hashor naki, Yosef Lili omer, patur mitmei vodlos, umi boshes. Then he should have said, not only is he patur from the dmei vodlos, but he should also be patur from boshes. So, didn't say that. So what's going on? So therefore, Abaya Virava, El Abaya Virava, the Amrit Abaya, they said this is the right understanding why Yosef Lili says that you need the word Anoshim and not Shvarim, and you need Baal Hashor Naki to teach us the following. Anoshim ein ason ba'isha yeyonshu. As the pasuk said, so in a situation where the woman isn't killed, so then the anashim have to pay. Only if the woman doesn't die is there a penalty to pay for the miscarried children. But if the woman is killed, so then the man is now chayiv misa for killing this woman, and therefore lo yenshu. The kom lemi derabbne principle teaches us that you're chayiv misa is based in this situation, and even if you're not chayiv misa is based in because there's no witnesses, let's say, there's no hasra, so then nevertheless, even when there would be at least the theoretical possibility to be chayav misa based in, so then we don't pay the financial penalties that occur at the same time. So therefore, you would be exempt from paying for the vlados. So if there is an arson yesha, son ba'isha, the woman nebuch dies, so then lo yenshu, then there is no financial penalty. However, the drasha would be velo shvarim, but this doesn't apply to shvarim. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. The alpha gav diyesh also, even if the ox does go and kill the woman, there still would be a financial penalty. There's no din of kumlim in the rabbinim by the ox. So even though there is an also, yeyonshu. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, according to Abaye and Rava. And then, all the question of Chavona, Balashonaki, then why did it tell us Balashonaki? To teach us the potter in this situation. That in fact, you don't have to pay for the vlados. So that's the way we darsh it, according to Yosef Glili. Again, we still have problems with this. Masik Rav Adam or Abba. Rav Adam or Abba says, there is a machlokis. Rashi brings this down, a machlokis that we have in Sanhedrin and Perik Eluhin on Isrofin, on Daf Ayin Tesum and Aleph, where we have a machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. When are you chayev if you go and intend to kill person A, but instead you kill person B? So, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the person is chayev misa as long as he intended to kill. He did intend to go kill person A, but he shot at person A, but then he killed person B, so then he would be chayev for misa. He was given hasra, he's warned, so then he's going to be chayev misa based him. He killed, that was his intention, albeit he didn't kill the person he intended to. He wanted to kill A, but he killed B, but he did intend to kill, and therefore he would be chayev according to Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, however, tells us that you only chayev misa if you intended to kill A, and you did kill A. If you intended to kill A, but by accident you killed B, so then you would not be chayev misa's basin. So this machlokis in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is now going to be the focus over here of what Rav Adda Bar Abba says. He says, "Otu ba'oson talya milsa." Do we say over here that the question of are you chayev misa or not depends on just imyesh oson? It's bekavona talya milsa. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's only if you intended to go and kill the woman that you would be chayev misa, and there would be a din of komle midrabba minei. But you didn't intend to kill the woman. The two men were fighting. Reuven intended to hit Shimon and kill Shimon, and instead he unfortunately went and killed Shimon's wife. So then you would not have a din of komle midrabba minei according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, how can you tell us over here, you need the pasuk to tell us that Bala Shor Naki teaches us that you don't pay by the shore. Well, you wouldn't pay by the man either. So why would we think that you'd have a havamina to pay by the shore? Why would it need a pasuk to exclude the shore? So therefore, Elo Amar Rav Adam Rava, this is the right way to understand Rav Yosi Aglili. Anoshim, when the pasuk tells us Chinatu Anoshim, it means Kiniskadnu Ze Lo Ze Afal Gav Shi Yeshosum Ba'isha Yeonshu. According to Rabbi Shimon's understanding, you are in Sanhedrin, you're only going to be chayev for komlei min derabba b'nei if you intended to kill Reuven and you killed Reuven. Here, the two people are fighting. He intended to kill the husband, but instead he went to kill the wife. So there is no din of komlei min derabba b'nei because afal gav sheish oson b'isha yeyonshu. They're going to have to punish the penalty for the vlados because there is no chayev of misa according to Rabbi Shimon. So kiniskavdu leisha atzma lo yinshu. But if his intention was to go hit the guy's wife, and then he kills that guy's wife, that was his intention. So then there would be a din of komlei b'derabbanei, and therefore kiniskavdu anashim would teach us only in that situation velo shvarim, not by an ox. Dafilu niskavdu leisha, even if the ox intended to gore that woman, and it did gore the pregnant woman, and it did kill her, and there is the death of the fetuses as well. So the niskavdu, I feel niskavdu leisha atzmo yeyanshu. Here, there is no din of komlei b'derabbanei by the ox. So therefore, the din would be that the owner of the ox would be chayev for the vlados. And therefore, that's what I would have learned that if I only had the pasuk chinas tzuan Hashem. So kaza rachmana balashonaki diptiri. So along comes the pasuk balashonaki to teach us that in fact the owner of the ox doesn't have to pay for the vlados. And we have a brisa that shows that Rav Adda Bar Abba is correct, because v'chein ki also Rav Chagai midaroma. When Rav Chagai came up from the south of Eretz Yisrael and he came up to the base of Medrash, also v'aisi masnisa b'yedei kavosi the Rav Adda Bar Abba. He brought with him a brisa that said exactly like this opinion that Rav Adda Bar Abba just brought to us now, that only if the person had intention to go and kill the woman is there going to be a komlei b'derabbanei. And as opposed to by the ox, even if the ox did intend to kill the woman, there would not be a kumlin with the rabbinate, and then you'd be chayiv for the vlados, and that's why you need the pasuk, the Baal Ashor Noki, to teach us that that isn't the case. And that concludes the proper way to understand the brisa of Tanya Idach of Rav Yossi HaGlili. Now we have the third and final brisa, which I mentioned. That's the brisa that has Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Tanya Idach, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Baal Ashor Noki, what do we need to add? Pasuk for Rabbi Akiva Omer, Noki midmei Evid. The Rebbe Akiva says that you don't have to go and pay if the ox went and killed a Evid Kenani, so then there is no din of kofar. The owner of this shor doesn't pay kofar, the 30 shkalim that you would normally pay if you went and killed an Evid. If we didn't have the pasuk, Baal Ashor Naki, so then we would in fact say that the owner would be chayiv. Along comes the pasuk, Baal Ashor Naki, to teach us that the owner doesn't pay the kofar for the Evid in this situation where the ox killed the Evid. Return to Membez or Membez. The name of Rabbi Akiva and Avshe. But wait a second. In yesterday's shir, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi, why do you need a pasuk Ubala Shornaki to teach us this din? This is a short tam, and a short tam is you only pay me gufo. And since this ox gored somebody to death, so therefore it is a shor haniskal, and it has to be killed. And if it's killed, it's also bahana. If it's also bahana, so then how are you going to ever go collect and pay for this? Why would I need a pasuk to tell me that the Baal Ashor is naki? He could say, go and take this ox, which is also bahana, and pay for yourself with it. But you can't because it's worth nothing. It's a shor haniskal. It's also bahana. Balo atzmo ein mishtali mele migufo. A short time, you only pay for damages from itself. And here, the owner of the short time that is going to be niskal can say, haviyehu lebeistin vishalincho. Go take it to beistin, and the ox will pay for you. It's a short niskal. It's worth nothing. You can't go and get anything from it. So why would I need a pasuk to tell me balo short noki? This is the same question Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Eliezer. You can ask it on himself. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak, says, no, we're dealing here, Rabbi Akiva is talking about a case, kishekidem ba'olav ushchato. The owner of this ox said, uh-oh, this case is not going well. There's witnesses here that testify that they saw my ox kill this Eved. I got to go shech this ox right now. Well, before the din is gebaskin, that it's a shor haniskal. So before it's paskin, that it has to be killed, I'm going to go shout it. No, right now, it's worth something. So kishkidim ba'ol v'ushchato, that's what we're talking about. And ma'o detemo lishtalimine, in this situation, I would have said, well, it was shechted before the psak din, and therefore, in fact, it might be worth something. You were allowed to get hanor from it. No, kamash balon, ubala shor naki tells us, Rabbi Akiva says, "Ho ubar k'tolu, since it is ultimately going to be a shor haniskal, because it did kill the seven, and it eventually is going to be gepaskin that it's a shor haniskal, so then afogav d'shochte, even though he shechted it before it was gepaskin to be a shor haniskal, lo lishtalem minei. It's also to get any hanor from it, and therefore there is, that's what we need the pasuk ubala shor naki to teach us, that even if it was shechted before the psak din, it still is also bahana, and therefore the baal of the shor, tam, doesn't have to pay for the kofar of the Eved, the Shloshim Shkolim. Where it says, if that's true, ihachi, so then why did Rabbi Eliezer give this answer? Rabbi Eliezer gave us a whole bunch of different terutzim. Yes, they shear. Why didn't you just give the simple terutz that Rabbi Akiva just gave? Rabbi Eliezer, nami shakidim ushchato. Why don't we say that Rabbi Eliezer also said, well, this is the case where he went and shechted it first before the psak din, and therefore that's why we need a Baal Ashor Naki. Why did Rabbi Akiva, when he asked this question to Rabbi Eliezer, why did Rabbi Eliezer give him a whole different teretz? He should have given this nice, simple teretz. Shmuel says, Hochanami. Rabbi Akiva knew that Rabbi Eliezer could give this simple teretz. He himself was giving this teretz. He wanted to see if Rabbi Eliezer had a better teretz. Visava, Rabbi Akiva thought, maybe Dilma, Islay Taimo Achrino, the Otit Mehai. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer has a better teretz than this teretz. And in fact, Rabbi Eliezer did give a much more complicated and complex type of a teretz. And therefore, the name Olay, Rabbi Eliezer, would teach Rabbi Akiva. That's why he asked the question. No, Rabbi Eliezer, Nami Lishani Le Shekide Mishchato. Why did Rabbi Eliezer give that fancier teretz and not give the simple teretz that Rabbi Akiva gave? So Amalok, Rabbi Eliezer would tell you, no, Hasam, in the situation that we were referring to, That was talking about a case where the person intended, his ox intended to go and kill an animal, but it didn't intend to go kill a human being. In that situation, it's not a shor niskav. Two oxen are goring, and it pushes one ox into a human being, and it kills the human being. So then, the shor lav bar katola hu klal. That's not a shor niskav. It's only if the shor intended to go kill a person, is it a shor niskav. If through its actions, it unintentionally killed a person, it's not called the shor niskav. And I would have said, in that situation, that this shor tam killed a person unintentionally, it was goring another ox, and it somehow caused this person to die. So I would have said in that situation, maybe there is a chatzi kofer that you have to pay. So Shortam always pays the chatzi, that's it. So maybe in this situation, it should be a chatzi kofer. The sol kedaitech aminoch nechayev to pay this chatzi kofer. And that's why you need the pasuk. It's k'rol amute, that's why you need balashor naki. However, abal hocha, in this situation, the meikara ba'katola hava, this ox intended to gore a person. In this situation, I would have said, lo tzarech kra, afogav deshachte. I would have said that, guess what? You don't need a pasuk here, because the person would never have been chayv to pay the chatzi kofer, because it's a shor haniskal. And it's a shor haniskal, you can only collect from a tam, from the guf, and this guf is going to be worth nothing. So I would have said, lo tzarech kra, afogav deshachte. I would have said, you don't need this pasuk, even though you shechted it. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to give this teretz over here of Rabbi Akiva. No, that's a very good argument. So Rabbi Eliezer is right. So how can Rabbi Akiva give the teretz? If Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to give it, and he's validly not giving it because of the no need for it, because if the ox intentionally gored, then it's not chayiv in the chatzi kofer, because it's a shor haniskal, and you can't go collect from the guf. That was such a good explanation to Rabbi Eliezer. Why doesn't it apply to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva nami vaday hochi hava. So how can Rabbi Akiva give this answer? So therefore, Elo Omer Ravasi says, this is the way you understand Rabbi Akiva. Hai milso mipi de gavra rabashmili. And the answer I had heard from a great person. Who is this great person? Umano Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. This was the great Rav Yosef Rav Chanina who said this answer to explain Rabbi Akiva. So, kedai techaminech, you would have said, Hoel, the Omer Rabbi Akiva, af tam shechoval biod mishalim b'moser nezek shalem. I would say that Rabbi Akiva holds that you need the pasuk Bala Shonoki to tell us that you don't pay the kofar in this situation, even though it's a shor haniskal. You might have thought, Howel, so could that mean? You would have said, Howel, since Rabbi Akiva holds that af tam shechoval bi odom, that even if a tal goes and damages a person, mishalim the moser nezik sholim. So you have a tam that's injuring a person, and the tam itself is damaged in this interaction. And therefore, we say, let's say the tam caused $100 worth of damage, and the human being caused $50 worth of damage. So there's a moser of 50. So you would have said, in this situation, the tam pays nezek sholem. It pays the full 50. It doesn't pay half of the 50 when it has this interaction with the person. That's what we keep a shita. Tam shechovel biyodim, mishalim b'moser, nezek sholem. The difference between the damages, you pay the full damage there, not chatzi nezek. Therefore, mishtalim nami demei eved me aliyah. I would have said that you pay this full nezek, so you pay it me aliyah. And therefore, there would be a din of kofar. And you would say, even though the shor niskal, there's nothing me gufo, I would have said, but nevertheless, since you pay the moser nezek with an adam, you pay me an aliyah. Maybe over here too, you pay me an aliyah. And though, even though the tam is worthless, it's a shor niskal, and you only collect me gufo normally, here you would collect me an aliyah. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva needs Kasa Rechmona Baal Hashor Noki to teach us this din. More questions. This says, no, Amalei Rabbi Zeira L'Ravasi. Rabbi Zeira says to Ravasi, why would Rabbi Akiva say that? For Tabre Rabbi Akiva L'Gzize. Now, Rashi in the first parak of Sanhedrin on Daf Zayin tells us that this word Gzize means L'Koach Egrofo, the force of his fist. So therefore, what we've essentially said over here, Rabbi Zeira says to Ravasi, is Rabbi Akiva has already, so to say, been schlugged up, if you want to say this. He's had his fist, his strength of his fist, has been nullified. Why is that? You're telling me over here that you pay d'mei eved mei aliyah, and therefore the kofar should be paid min aliyah, and it's not, therefore, nullified from the fact that it's a shor niskal. You pay from the owner and not from the guv, and therefore that's why you need Baal Shonaki to teach us that he doesn't pay. But that's schlugged up because the Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Kiva Omer. This brisa tells us that Rabbi Kiva's opinion is yochol yishal min aliyah. You might have thought that in this case that the tam goes and attacks a human being, and the tam does $100 worth of damage, and the human being did $50 worth of damage. So the $50 that you have to pay is the nezek shalom. You don't pay chatzi nezek of that, even though it's a tam, because it was an interaction with a human being. And you therefore might have thought you pay demei eved mei aliyah. That's not true. So that's what it means. That Tavre Rabbi Akiva Ligziza. Here you're telling me that, oh, it must be that Rabbi Akiva says you paid Me'evin Me'aliyah, but that's not true. Because the Brisa says, Tamil Omar, Kamishpada Zay Yosilo, that the din is exactly the same. Migufa Mishalim, Eno Mishalim Me'aliyah. Even in this situation where the Tam is paying Nezek Sholem, it still only pays Migufa, not Me'aliyah. Therefore, how can you tell me that Rabbi Akiva needs a Pasuk, Baal Shor Naki, to tell us that in this situation, the Baal Shor doesn't have to pay? No, he pays Migufa of the Shor Tam, and the Shor Tam is worthless because it's a Shor Nisko. So that can't be Rabbi Akiva's understanding. So Mark tries again. Elama Rava, Rava tells us, Itzrich. Rabbi Akiva says, you need the Pasuk Baal Shor Naki for the following drasha. I would have said, Soka Daito Chamina. I would have said, Hol Umach Mireini, the Eved Yosef mi Ben Chorin. Since we're stricter over here in the din of the Eved that is killed by a Muad than with a free person that is killed by a Muad. Why is that? How is the din by an Eved stricter than the din by a regular person? Each of them killed by an ox. So, Sheben Chorin, the din is, by a regular person, you evaluate how much that person is worth. We had previously, do you go by the Mazik or you go by the Nizak? But you evaluate the person. Sheben Chorin, Yofe Sela, no sin Sela. If the man is worth a Sela, so then that's the penalty. That's what you pay, a Sela. If the man is worth 30 Slaim, Shloshim, then you give 30. So you look at the actual valuation of the human being. The Eved, however, whether the Eved is Yofer Sela or the Eved is worth 30 Slaim, the din is no Sein Shloshim. The penalty for the Eved is always the same. Even if he's only worth a Sela, you pay 30. Whereas by the free person, the Ben Chorin, you look at his evaluation. If he's only worth a Sela, that's all you pay. You don't always pay 30 Slaim. You could pay more, you could pay less. So the din is stricter by the Eved than it is by the Ben Chorin. That's what he means. So the Eved, you have a seller, no sin shloshim, no matter what. Mishtalim nami demei Eved min aliyah. So therefore, you might have thought that you should have to pay the demei Eved from the aliyah. That's what you would have thought because the din by an Eved is stricter. And therefore, maybe you pay min ha'aliyah. Mishtalim nami demei Eved min ha'aliyah. Kamash v'lon comes along the pasuk. Kosar rechmon abal shonaki to teach us that that's not the case. So this is how Rava finally understands Rabbi Akiva and Tanya Kavosi the Rava. And we have a brisa that says exactly like Rava brought down. The brisa tells us, the pasuk says, Baal Shor Naki, Rabbi Akiva Omer Naki midmei Eved. It means that he doesn't have to pay for the Kofer for the Eved, the 30 scroll for the Eved. Now, I would have said it's a dinhu. Follow dinhu. I would have said you should be able to figure out from a logical point of view that you should have to pay. Because after all, ho v'chayeb b'Eved, v'chayeb b'Ben Chorin. If a shor kills an Eved, or a shor kills a Ben Chorin, there is a din of kofer. So, ma kishachiyeb b'Ben Chorin, chilachtobo bein tam l'muad, in regards to killing a Ben Chorin, the Ag scored a Ben Chorin and killed it, so we make a distinction between a Tam and a Muad in regards to the fact that a Tam doesn't pay a Chatzi Kofer and a Muad does. So there's only Kofer in the case of a Muad. There is no din of Kofer by a Tam. Therefore, if that's true by a Ben Chorin, so we could have said, Dinu, it makes sense. So if the animal is a Tam versus the animal is a Muad, we should make the same distinction by an Eved. Only by a Muad should you pay the 30, and by a Tam you shouldn't pay anything. Furthermore, we would have said, Uma ben Chorim shino sein kol shavyo. When the Yeshua Muad is minageach, a person, a Ben Chorin, you have to pay the full value of that person. And nevertheless, there, chilakta bein tam lemuad, to make a distinction as to whether it's a short tam versus a short muad. By the muad, you pay kol shavyo. By the tam, you don't pay chatzi kol shavyo. So certainly by the eved, she'eino sein el shloshim, by the eved, you should only pay 30. You're never going to pay more than 30. So then, the din should certainly be that we should make a chiluk bein tam lemuad. Eino din, it should be a kal v'chomer, she'nachlok bo bein tam lemuad. So therefore, why would I need the pasuk Baal Shor Naki to teach us that a tam doesn't pay? So the Gemara says, no, here we have this Kal v'Chomer. We explained that we're stricter by the Eved than by the Ben Chorin. This is the Tanya Kavase, exactly the way that Rava explained, so this is exactly what the Braisa tells us. Lo, we don't say that the din should be the same by a ben chorin, that you only pay the muad and not the tam, so the same din should be by the evet, if you only pay by the muad and not by the tam. Lo, because machmi reini the evet, yosef mi ben chorin, because we have this argument that you should be stricter by the evet than by the ben chorin, as we said, and the Braisa now repeats, sheben chorin yofa sela no sin sela. The ben chorin, you only pay what it's worth. So if the ox gored a person that's in the ICU and isn't worth much, so in that situation, you're only going to pay a small amount. You're only going to give a seller. If you gore a person that's worth 30, then you pay 30. But if you gore a person that's only worth one, you only pay one. So shloshim, no sin shloshim. If you gored a person worth 30, you pay 30. Gored a person worth one, you pay one. That's why ben chorin. But an eved is stricter. The eved, even though you're off a seller, this eved is an older eved, can't do work anymore, is in a wheelchair. He is worthless as a farmhand. So you're only going to pay a seller for him. Okay, he can bring you a cup of coffee. So he's worth a seller. The Eved, you offer a seller. Nevertheless, no saying shloshim. So we see we're restricted by the din of a shor that kills a Eved. You pay 30 no matter what, as opposed to a shor that kills a ben chorin. You only pay the value. So therefore, we might have said that even though by a shor that kills a ben chorin, by tam you don't pay, muad you do pay, you can't automatically say that the same thing should apply in regards to a shor that kills an eved. And you can't say that the tam is automatically free and the muad pays, and therefore, yochel yechayv. But we said even the tam should be chayv. Along comes Rabbi Akiva, Talmud Lomer, Baal Shor Noki, Noki Midmei Eved. That's how this brisa supports exactly what Rabbi said. This is the proper understanding of Rabbi Akiva. This is the third of the three brises, one from yesterday, Rabbi Elazar, from the beginning of this year, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and now Rabbi Akiva. And we've explained all three of them, why we need the pasuk Ubal Hashor Noki. Now the Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following brisa. Famous Ish O Isha. The whole pasuk is v'mshor nagahu mitmoshel shom. If this is known to be a shor muad, v'uad bivolav, it was made into muad v'loishmenu, and the owners didn't watch it properly. And then v'himisish o isha. In this situation, the shor is niskal. If it killed a person, a shor yisukel v'gam bi'olav yumos. It says at the end, also the owner shall be killed. Now it doesn't mean that the owner shall be killed. So what's this pasuk teaching us? So when the pasuk says v'himisish o isha, the brisa says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, v'chima bozel lamdenu. What does this pasuk come to teach us? That if you killed a man or a woman, that you're going to be chayev as a shor haniskal. Im l'chayev alo isha kish. If it's telling us v'mis ish o isha, to teach us that the din applies to a woman as well. So we already learned that. Harei kvar nemar, ki gach shor es ish o es isha. So it can't be coming to tell us over here, v'mis ish o isha, to tell us the din applies to a woman as well. Elo lahakish isha l'ish. It's coming to compare them. The a juxtaposition in the pasuk telling us the same din applies to a man as to a woman in the following din. Ma ish nizokov liyarshov af isha nizokeha liyarsheha. This comes to teach us that when this man is killed and you have to pay the value of this person, so who gets that? So the yarshim of the man who died, Nebuch, his yarshim get that payment. So too, when the woman dies, so her yarshim get that payment. That's what the pasuk is telling us, v'misish o isha, that it compares the two for this din. So the din, like by a man, that the man's heirs go and inherit him, so too, the woman's heirs go and inherit this money. And it's her heirs and not her husband. Now, this is what this brisa tells us. V'sal Rabbi Akiva, lo yoris lo baal. So wait a second. Rabbi Akiva is the one that says over here, of Rabbi Kiva, that this juxtaposition of Ish and Isha comes to teach us that their rules are the same for Yerusha, so that means that Rabbi Kiva holds that the husband doesn't inherit her. But that's not true, Vatanya. Rabbi Kiva does hold that the husband inherits her, because the pasuk says, V'yorash osa, he shall inherit her, Mikan Shabbal Yoris is Ishto. That comes to teach us this din, that the husband inherits his wife. So if there's a payment that's given to the wife, Nebuch, the wife died, so there's a payment given to the wife, and therefore to her inheritors, so the husband inherits her. Mikan Shabbal Yorish Asishto, Divi Rabbi Kiva. So how can you have Rabbi Kiva darsh in the pasuk of Yorash Osa to teach us that the husband inherits her? And then he darshed this pasuk of Miss Isha Oisha to go and teach us that the woman's inheritors, her heirs, her father, let's say, would inherit her, and not her husband would inherit this money for the Negicha that Nebuch killed her. So Gemara says, Omar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish explains, Lo Omar Ella Bekofer. When Rabbi Akiva said his original, the brice that we just brought down, the Misisha Isha, that's only Lo Omar Ela B'Kofer. That's only a din specific to Kofer. This is a specific din only applicable by Kofer. Why? Whole Ve'ein Mishtalin Ela Li'achar Misa. When does this Kofer come into effect? When is it paid? It's Nebuch only after the woman dies. After the woman dies, now this debt is due. This is something that's called Vahavale Roy. It is coming into the estate. It's not in the estate yet. It's not considered in the estate. So the husband only inherits the things that are in his wife's estate at the time, that there are muhsak in the estate, but not roy, not things that are coming into the estate. We have a similar idea in regards to Yerusha, where the Bechor, the male firstborn son, so he gets a double portion, Pishnayim. So he only is entitled to get Pishnayim from what's muhsak, but not from that which is roy, which will come into the estate after the father's death. Then he only gets a single share like all the other brothers. So in this situation, Rabbi Akiva says the kofar is only payable after the death of the woman. After the death of the woman, he's no longer her husband. So he only inherits what she owned at the time of her death. Since the kofar comes in after the death, there's no steer between the two drushas. Famous Isha Isha comes to teach us that the woman's heirs, her father, will inherit her kofar. But it's only the kofar because that's not yet muhsak. It's roy. And in all other cases, we have the possibility, Yerasha saw, that the husband goes and inherits the wife. So anything that was muhsak at the time of her death, the husband gets and not her father. So therefore, by the kofar, which is only roi, so it's not yet there, so the husband doesn't get it. The father will go and inherit his daughter. So in that situation, the ein mishtalim el liachar misor, so v'havale roi, it's only something that will come in. It's going to be in the estate. The ein habal notel b'roi kibemusuk. And as I pointed out, the husband doesn't get in anything that's not in the estate at the time of her death. It's not muhsak. He's not entitled to roi. He's only entitled to muhsak. That explains the seeming stira between the two statements of Rabbi Akiva. Now, my timer. Why should this be the case that the husband isn't entitled to the kofar? Why is it considered roy and not muhsak? It's my timer because the pasuk says, "Hamakra v'mis ish o isha hashor yisakel v'gam be'olav yumas," and also the be'olav will die. What does that mean? We don't go and kill the owner of the ox if his ox killed. So it says, "Im kofar yushas olav." What does that mean? This comes to teach us that the owner doesn't die, of course. It means it's talking about the kofar. Im kofar yushas olav. So the kofar that he'll have to pay, that only occurs, just like you only say it's a shor niskal, only when we'll go and kill the shor, only when it killed. You don't kill the shor when it gored. You wait to see what happens to the person. Nebuch, if the person dies, then it's a shor niskal. So just like the shor niskal is only after the shor killed somebody, then it's niskal, so too. Only is the kofar paid, it's judged to be paid only when Nebuch the person dies, and therefore it's considered roy and not muhsak. So Gemara says, now that we've established, Rabbi Akiva holds that only in regards to the kofar is the woman's inheritance going to get it, but in regards to everything else, the husband would get it. So Ubenizakin, lo amar Rabbi Akiva, but is it true that in regards to all the damages besides kofar, Rabbi Akiva implies that the husband would inherit. It's only with the kofar that the husband doesn't inherit it, that the yorshim of the wife, in other words, her father, he would inherit the kofar. But Rabbi Akiva seems to imply that all the other nizakin, the husband would inherit. Is that really true? But Tanya, hika es isha v'yatsu yiladeh, if a man, Nebuch, hit a woman, and there was a miscarriage, so no say nezik b'tzar le'isha, he has to pay for the actual damage to the woman, and for the pain that she suffered, that the woman is entitled to get, u'dmei v'lados l'bal, but the v'lados go to the husband. Ein abal no sin l'yarshav. If there is no husband, only then no sin l'yarshav. Then only would the woman's father go and get it. Now, ein ha'isha, if there is no woman here, no sin l'yarshav. If Nebuch, the woman, was killed, so then that is given to her yarshim, to her father, and not to her husband. So you see here in this situation that the husband doesn't inherit all the nizakin. It's not just the kofar that the husband doesn't get. It's also these nezek and sire that would normally have been paid to the woman now is going to go to her father, to her yarshim, and not to her husband. So here's a kasha. How can you tell me uben nizakin lo amar Rabbi Akiva? He seems to say that in nizakin as well. Let's finish reading the Braisa. tells us further, Haisa Shivcha, if she was a Shivcha and she was freed, Vinishtachra, so then in this situation, where she was pregnant in this situation, O Gioris, or she was a Gioris. And in both of these situations, we're assuming that there are no other inheritors. So in this situation, Zocha. So then the Mazik, the owner of the shor, he doesn't have to pay the kofar. It's as if he got it because there is nobody else to give it to. She has no Yorshim, and you don't give it to anybody else. So the Mazik, so to say, doesn't have to pay it. So the bottom line is, we see from here that Rabbi Akiva doesn't only say by kofar that the husband doesn't get it, it's also by this nezek and tsar. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, we're dealing here by grusha. You know why? Because she was a grusha. And that's why the husband doesn't inherit it, because he's not entitled to inherit her after they're divorced. The chen of Rav Nachman, grusha. Rav Nachman said the same teretz as rabbi. We're dealing here with a grusha. Where it says, wait a second. Amre, grusha, nami tiflog b'nei vlados. Whoa, wait a second. If you're telling me that it's a grusha, so then why should the husband get the bay vlandos? We said the husband gets the bay vlandos. Okay, the woman gets her inheritors get the nezek and the tsar, or she gets the nezek and the tsar. Well, why shouldn't she get the bay vlandos if she's a grusha? So the woman says, I'm a papa. No, a Torah zilsa the bay vlandos l'ba. This is exeris akos from the Torah that the husband, even though afilu ba'alav biznus, even if it wasn't a legitimate marriage, if he's the father of these vlados, so he's entitled to get the dmei vlados, zeres hakosov. Why? My timer. Because the pasuk says, "Amakra kasher yoshisulav ba'al ha'isha." She is referred to as the husband, as the ba'al ha'isha. He's the one that had relations with her. So kasher yoshisulav ba'al ha'isha comes to teach us this zeres hakosov, that even if the children were conceived, biznus, or the woman was divorced, nevertheless, the Baal is still considered the owner of these flados. The Gemara says there's another way to have understood this other than the way that we just did. And the Gemara says, Inokba l'rabba kigon shagavu ma'os, u'l'rav Nachman kigon shagavu karka. We'll see in a moment that we have opinions of Rabba and Rav Nachman that could answer this up in a different way, and therefore not learn it out the way that we just did. So, the Amar Rabba, what did Rabba say? Rabba said, and here, notice that we have here Rabba. This is the first time we mentioned that this is Rabba. Until now, we've been using the Lashon of Rava. So this is part of the proof to suggest why all the previous opinions are really Rabba and not Rava. In any event, the Amar Rabba, Gavu Karka Yeshlo. If the Baal Chov goes and takes something from the person that owes them the money, and the Baal Chov himself is dead, so it's really the estate that's collecting this, and they're collecting it from Karka, so then that's considered Muchzok already. However, Govu Mos, if the estate only collected metaltali, they only collected money, so then Einlo, then the Bechor doesn't have the right to a double portion. Again, as we pointed out before, the Pishnaim that the Bechor gets is only in Muchzok and not in Roy, only things that are actually there. So Karka is considered already there. It's considered as if it's Nigba already during the lifetime of the person who Nebuch passes away. So therefore, his Yerusha, his estate, includes the Muchzok Karka, but it won't include the Roy money that's coming in. So that would be Rabba's teretz. The Rav Nachman Omar, he said, Govu Mos Yeshlo. That if it was Mos, the exact opposite, Rav Nachman says that if it's money that they collected, then the Bechor has the right to Pishnaim. That's considered to be his prior to the death of the person, and that's considered Muchzach and not Roy. But Karka, Govu Karka, he holds the exact opposite. Rav Nachman knows the exact opposite. He says that is considered Roy and not Muchzach. So one could have explained the Braisa that we said that the woman whose father inherits her, so you could say the reason why is because you either hold like Rabba or you hold like Rav Nachman. So Gemara says, no, that's not the answer. Amri, Hani Mili Livnei Marova Aliba the Rabbanim. These statements that Rabba and Rav Nachman made just now, so they go in accord with the opinion of the rabbis that live in Eretz Yisrael, what we call the Marava, Eretz Yisrael. Ki Kamri Hacha, but when Rabba and Rav Nachman said over here in this Braisa, they're explaining according to Rabbi. Now Rabbi's opinion is that these debts that are owed are always considered muchzak to the person that Nebuch passed away. Even before he dies, they're considered his, and therefore they're inherited in this situation by the husband of the person, in the case where it's the woman that Nebuch passes away. So these are considered muchzak according to Rabbi, and therefore that's why if he was married to her at the time of her death, as opposed to grusha, if he was still married to her at the time of the death, they are considered muchzak, and that's why all the other nizakin belong to the husband and not to the heirs. But the kofar, that is definitely considered roy and not muchzak, that would go to her heirs, in other words, her father. Again, the last part was a little bit complicated, but this is a good breakpoint. We'll stop over here. Mitzvah Shem will pick up the Gemara at the two dots tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day.